When we are faced with a crisis or difficult situations, our bodies and minds tend to go into reactive mode, preventing us from thinking clearly and effectively. That's why it's important to learn to cultivate a calm, more thoughtful state of mind that will allow us to make us better, smarter, safer decisions. Welcome to Tea with Miriam, a podcast to help us understand how our thoughts, emotions, and actions are always interconnected and always affecting one another, bringing you science-backed reasoning as to why we think, feel, and behave the way we do. I share effective strategies and meaningful perspectives to help us understand how we think, keep our emotions in check, and control our actions. I'm your host, Miriam Burke, a leadership and personal development coach, helping you unlock your ability to rewire your brain, communicate with confidence, master your mindset, interact with compassion, lead with enthusiasm, inspire action, and co-create positive change, bringing more of you into your leadership role and improving our interaction one conversation at a time. Let's get to it. In today's episode, we'll be discussing how to find calm during crisis. Every man is the builder of a temple called his body, Henri Thoreau. You know it, I know it, life is chaotic every single day, right? But much more so right now. On top of our regular chaos and stress, we are now dealing with a lot of uncertainty, anxiety, and fear of what is to come, our finances, the future of our health, our physical current disconnection, and these are just to name a few. And even though we may be sheltered in place and not moving much or doing much, our brains are actually in overdrive. And that's why it's important to cultivate a calm and relaxed state of mind right now. But that doesn't mean that we are not doing anything and we are drowning under our responsibilities. On the contrary, my friend, a calm mindset will bring us more focus, attention, energy, and creativity that will help us tackle the issues that we need to tackle on a daily basis and in the future. You see, a stressed mind moves into that fight, flight, or freeze mode, right? And when that happens, our adrenal glands are activated, releasing cortisol, which is the stress hormones, and triggering adrenaline in the body. So that's why we feel like the shaky body, our heart beats really fast, our hands are sweaty and shaky, our blood pressure goes up, our breathing becomes really labored and fast. So after this perceived threat is gone, our body takes anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes to calm down. You guys, this is a lot of time that it takes for our body to calm down from a perceived threat. And sometimes, you know, I say perceived threat because more often than not, we get anxious, we become anxious and fearful about things that are not even presently there. It's just our thoughts of what is to come, what it might happen. So it is a perceived threat because it's not an imminent threat. So when that happens and our brain and body go into this fight, flight, or freeze mode, once we realize or we get out of that mode, it can take up to one full hour for our body and mind to recover and calm down. This is a lot. This is really a lot. And this is what it's important to understand right now. It's that when we are anxious or fearful, our brains will start reacting without thinking. Our focus will narrow, and that will prevent us from seeing the bigger picture or even making good decisions. We can't really manage our energy well, and we quickly burn out, right? So a calm, relaxed mind is a little bit clearer, It helps us feel a little bit more in control, prepared, creative, and confident for whatever task we need to tackle, for whatever comes our way, to the best of our abilities at that moment. We understand that. And that's why it's really important to cultivate calm so that we can use that in the future when we need. So today I'm going to share with you 4 strategies to help you cultivate calm, develop the habit of finding calm during difficult times, and learning to create a more thoughtful state of mind that will allow us to make better, smarter, and safer decisions. These strategies, they are mostly strategies that we should be practicing every day so that we can create this new mind habit and create new neural pathways in our mind so that we can find calm in the midst of crisis. And here they are. 1, allow yourself to feel what you feel. 2, separate facts from fiction. This is a really important one, you guys. 3, clutch on the steering wheel of control. 4, use gratitude and mindfulness to calm the mind. So here we go. Strategy number 1, allow yourself to feel what you feel. As I just said before, a stressed mind reacts without thinking, burns through energy very quickly, and then reaches exhaustion, allowing us to make poor decisions. Now, a calm mind, on the other hand, is smart, I would say intelligent, it's creative, confident, and resilient. To achieve a state of calm in the midst of chaos, we first must understand what we feel and allow ourselves to feel the way we do. We don't ignore it, we don't shove it aside, nor do we feel shame for the feelings that we have. We listen to them because our emotions tell us what is important to us. So this is what is really important that I want you to understand and take from this today, is that your emotions, my emotions, they are valid and they are legit and they are true to you, and my emotions are true to myself. It doesn't matter if I agree with your emotions or not. What matters is that when you feel them, they are real and they are true to you and they are a representative of what it is that you are thinking and what it is that you believe in. So that's one very important point to understand. And that's why we can't shove them aside, because they are just a result of our thoughts and beliefs. So it's important to understand what they are, how we created them, so that we can handle them, right? If we want to achieve a state of calm in the midst of chaos, we need to understand why we are anxious, why we are fearful, so that we can change them into a more relaxed, calm, secure state of mind. So here are the steps to allow yourself to feel the way you feel and to understand your emotions. 1, name your emotion. So when you are feeling the emotion come up, name it, label it. There are like dozens and dozens and dozens of different types of emotions, right? Anger, frustration, sadness, happiness. That's just an example of what there are. You can easily find feelings list online. If you just Google it, you're going to find like long lists of feelings. You can also use apps. The Mood Meter is an app that I use a lot and I recommend for my clients. And no, I'm not making money from them, although I should, because I recommend a lot of people to use them, but I don't. So first step is name the emotion. Like, know exactly what it is that you are feeling. Then 2 is accept how you feel. Again, like I said, your emotions are valid, they are legit, and they are true to you. So accept that you're feeling the way you're feeling. And you can even tell yourself, I'm feeling anger, frustration, exhilaration, and it's okay. It's just how I feel right now. Start understanding, like becoming more aware of that and making this connection between your brain and your body, because this connection is really, really strong. So let's develop the awareness for that. That's really important, because in the future, when you notice how your body's reaction, you will know exactly what emotion you're feeling. Then you will know exactly what to do to work with that emotion. The last tool that I gave you to allow yourself to feel how you feel is to understand how and why you start feeling those emotions. And that's really understanding your triggers, right? So you think of what happened, what event happened, what was said, what was done, who was involved, what were your thoughts right before you start feeling those emotions, and what did you keep thinking as you were feeling those emotions? Right? So thoughts create emotions, emotions create actions. So to understand the triggers, we need to understand what was going on, what was said or done, who was involved, and what it is exactly that I was thinking about that event that created those emotions. So once you get a handle of those four steps, you will be able to really understand your emotions. And that's really important because our emotions are tellers of what is important to us and why. And that information is vital for us to achieve calm, happiness, health. Strategy number two in our path to finding calm in the midst of chaos and crisis is understand the difference between facts and thoughts. So when we're trying to achieve calm in the midst of chaos and crisis, it's really important that we understand that our thoughts create our emotions and that our thoughts are not necessarily the facts, because facts can be proven and are indisputable. Our thoughts, however, are our opinions of the facts, our ideas of the facts, the beliefs that we create, our interpretation of the facts. And they are not necessarily the fact because they can be disputable. So if they can be disputable, they are not facts, okay? Our life is a very good representation of our thoughts, what we highly believe in, what we decide to focus our energy on, where we put our attention to. These are all thoughts because they are our opinions, our belief system. And we choose our thoughts all the time. We really do choose what we want to think. Most of us don't know that. So then we are just thinking what we've been used to think for a long time. So that therefore just perpetuating our thought habit. But once we become aware that we can actually control and choose what we think, then we start changing the way we think. But we can't choose the facts. They either are or they aren't. Another important difference to understand between facts and thoughts is that facts cannot actually hurt us, right? But our thoughts can. So how we choose to interpret the facts, those are our thoughts. What we choose to believe about the facts, those are our thoughts. Our thoughts, so how we choose to interpret the facts, our opinions, right? What we choose to believe about the facts, our belief system, those create the emotions that we feel after our thoughts. So that would be anxiety, fear, anger, happiness, exhilaration. When we think of the facts, those emotions are the ones that drive us to either feel good or feel bad about the situation, but not the facts themselves. So for instance, COVID-19 is a virus. That's a fact. No one can dispute that. Whether it was created in a lab or a bat bit a pig and someone ate whatever, those are really not, haven't been proven yet. So those are not facts. Those are several opinions and assumptions. But COVID-19 is a flu-like virus, which is very damaging right now because we do not have antibodies for it yet. So those are all facts that have been proven and they are indisputable. Now, COVID-19 is a really bad virus, and we should shut down the country so we can prevent it from spreading. That's an opinion that our government chose to choose. COVID-19 is not that bad of a virus and now we can open up the country, it's another set of opinions because it can be disputable. We have, you know, two sides or three sides of these parties just saying, yes, we should open up. No, we shouldn't open up. We should open up slowly. So once we have different opinions and the stories are disputable, those are thoughts because they are opinions. They are belief systems. They are not facts per se. This is really, really, really important to understand on a personal level. So like, let's leave the government and the disease and the crisis and the chaos to the side. On the personal level, for you and me, it's really important to understand this difference between facts and thoughts, because no one, no event, nothing can create your feelings. Nothing, no one can make you feel the way you do. You are the only one, because your thoughts create your emotions. I know that sometimes it can be a little bit hard to wrap our head around it, but that's the truth. Our emotions are a direct result of our thoughts. So we are the sole creators of our thoughts and feelings. When things happen and we decide what to think, then we create the emotions that are the direct result of our thoughts. So that process can make us feel empowered or can make us feel stuck, right? There are many, because if we feel that, when we feel anxiety and fear, that makes us feel stuck. Now, when I know that my thoughts have created my emotions and I go back and I change my thoughts slightly, I will immediately and consequently change my thoughts, my emotions slightly. So that changes the way I feel. So if I was feeling anxiety before, by changing my thought, I feel fearful. That's a step down from anxiety. That's less of an intensity of an emotion. What about if I just feel bored? If I'm stepping down from fearful to boredom, that's a less intense emotion as well. And the less intense the emotion we feel, the better we are to control ourselves when we need to control ourselves. So there are many events that are completely out of our control, right? Death, destruction, loss. And those events cause us an array of emotions, but that's because of what we think of those events, right? So when there's a death in the family, I'm not saying that your grief and your loss and your pain of the loss is not valid. That's the opposite of what I'm saying. Remember what I said. The first thing that I said before was your emotions are valid. They are legit and they are true to you and I respect them. But what I'm saying is that a death in your family causes you a lot of pain, whereas the same death in your family does not cause me the same pain. That's because of the type of relationship you have with the person. That is because of the thoughts that you have created around that death. The death of that person is now telling you, you're probably having those thoughts, I'm never going to see this person again. I can hug her again. I will never be able to kiss her. I will never be able to say I love you. And that is very painful. And that is true. But those are your thoughts. When I look at that death, I'm like, well, yeah, it was a life beautifully lived. And now it's sad that the family members are not going to be able to have that person in their lives. But those thoughts are not creating me the same pain. Because once we change our thoughts just slightly, we can change the intensity of our emotions just slightly as well. So it's up to us to choose what we want to think and how we want to feel, and then what actions we want to take. And I understand, believe me, that this is easier said than done. I've been there. Until I understood all of these steps, all of what happens in our brains and in our bodies, I used to think just like that too, like no way, my thoughts are creating my emotions and my emotions are creating my actions. But this is the truth. And I learned from personal experience and from thousands of positive results with my clients that in order to feel better, we need to think better. In order to feel positive, we need to think positive. Better thinking leads to powerful actions. Negative thoughts create negative emotions, which make us feel debilitated, paralyzed, and stuck. Now, positive thoughts, however, they create positive emotions, and those positive emotions motivate us to keep moving. And this is empowering. So how we choose to feel is totally up to us. So let's do it with intention and purpose, separating facts from thoughts and aligning our emotions with how we want to feel. So strategy number three, to control or not to control. Like I said before, there are many circumstances in life that we cannot control. Other people's actions, people's thoughts, people's feelings, people's belief systems, health, diseases, government actions, our economy, the world economy, Mother Nature. Those we cannot control. It doesn't matter what you do, you cannot control those. But there are many things that we can control. Right? Our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our reactions, our responses. So where we put our attention and energy toward, how we want to show up in life, these are all things that we can control. So when we give up control of the things we cannot control and we start being more intentional and positive with the things that we can control, we start achieving calm. That's a very important point for me to make, because you stop wasting time with things that you can't change anyways, and you start living your life with intention and purpose. And that creates joy, that creates satisfaction, that creates motivation, which leads to creativity, productivity. Like, we feel good and we start doing more good things. And we are always producing something. Even when we are doing nothing, we are still producing something. We produce thoughts, we produce emotions, and we produce that energy that comes out. And usually we will act upon those thoughts, emotions, and that energy, right? So being intentional means choosing on your own to do or not to do something. For instance, during this sheltering place, you might decide intentionally to rest or to take naps, to watch Netflix, to work out, to read more, to be very active, to be very inactive, to be productive, etc. It doesn't matter. The decision is yours and yours only. There's no reason to shame, and nobody has nothing to do with it. It's your business, no one else. So that's why I ask that you extend the same courtesy to others, right? If you agree with me on that point, please extend the courtesy to others. No blaming and no shaming what other people decide to do or not to do with their lives. Let them do their thing and you do yours. This way you will achieve calm even when things are kind of crazy, because you know you can control your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, and you know what you can control. Therefore, you know that you can achieve the outcome that you want to achieve. When we relinquish control of what we can't control and become more intentional with what we can control, then we achieve calm. And that is a very, very important piece of information as well. Now, strategy number four, in rewiring our brain, creating new neural pathways to find calm in the midst of chaos and crisis, is to use gratitude and mindfulness as a powerful tool. Because they are, right? In moments of crisis, we need to make sure that we are making the best decisions possible. Gratitude and mindfulness will help us do that. Gratitude brings the brain, the heart, the nervous system, and our hormonal system, not even talking about the physical body, all together, right? You can go back to some of my blog posts, read a little bit more about gratitude, and learn that when our brain is in gratitude, we engage a huge amount of brain matter that is affecting our body, that is affecting our hormonal system. And it's the only time that our brains and body react the way that it reacts when our brain is in gratitude. It's a very powerful tool. Mindfulness does the same thing. It changes our brain structure, it benefits bodily functions, and allow us to grow what we want to practice. To be grateful, we need to be present at the moment. We need to be mindful so we can affirm, acknowledge, and savor all the goodness in our lives. So gratitude and mindfulness are always together. They are hand in hand. So the first step to calm down our nervous system by using gratitude and mindfulness is to take slow, deep breaths, right? Breathing helps us reduce stress and anxiety, calm our nervous system, and help us stay present, because as we send oxygen to the brain, the limbic system, which is the emotional brain, it starts to calm down, starts to lower a little bit, and the prefrontal cortex, which is the rational brain, it starts getting aroused and becoming a little bit more active, making us more amenable to rational and logic thinking, which is really great when we are in the midst of chaos and crisis and difficult times. So that's the first step. Take very slow, deep breaths. I would say anywhere from 3 to 5. As soon as you do that, your brain will immediately start calming down. As we find ourselves a little bit calmer after we did the breathing, now you can, with attention and intention, absorb what is happening around us, right? And I call this a mindful minute. So after we did the breathing, so now you're going to look around, take a moment to take it in on what is happening. You engage your 5 senses and you pay attention to what you're listening, what you can hear. What can you see? What can you smell? What can you taste? What can you touch? Right? What it is that is happening right then and there in front of you. Who is there? What are they doing? How are they affecting you? What are your thoughts about that? What are your feelings about that? After we do that, and it only takes a minute, that's why I call it mindful minute, we can now start engaging our rational brain a little bit more by asking intentional questions. Right? Asking questions helps us stay present, look for different perspectives, look for the positives, and actually find solutions that are workable. Like, this is foolproof strategy. Every time that I do that, and every time that I get my clients to ask themselves intentional question after some breathing and mindful minute, they immediately realize what's going on so quickly, and they find sometimes temporary solutions that are so positive that will lead to long-term positive solutions to problems as well. Because the questions keep our brain engaged and our actions very intentional. And that helps us achieve calm in the midst of chaos. So some examples of intentional questions would be, what is happening right now exactly? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What is working? What is not working well? How is this benefiting me right now? How has this been benefiting me in the past few months? How can I make this easier on me, on my family, on my peers, on my students, on my coworkers, on my employees? How can I use my time well right now? What am I learning from this experience? What else could this be? This question really helps us open up our mind to different perspectives, which more often than not will lead us to much better solutions. And then the last and very important one, what am I grateful for right now? What am I grateful for today? What am I grateful for this week? When we stop, breathe, ask and listen, we will find the answers. And that is indisputable. I'm sorry, but it is. A healthy dose of stress in life can be motivating. You know that. I've talked about that before. From time to time is really good. It gets us into a different thinking pattern, a different thought process, and it can really be a good boost for our creativity and productivity even. But prolonged stress can quickly turn into chaos, right? Because it will drain our energy and leaves us exhausted. So then we can't really act well, we can't make good decisions, we can't even think properly. Now, a calm state of mind will help us live a healthier life, no matter what comes our way. When we know how to control our thought process and our feelings a little bit better during chaotic and difficult times, and we reach calm, we feel more in control of the situation. Therefore, we feel better. As we slowly adjust to this new normal, let's listen to our thoughts, understand our emotions, and control our actions. And then try to see and accept different perspectives from different people, understanding that facts are different than thoughts and opinions and perspectives. As we do that for ourselves, we extend the same courtesy to everybody else. We are in this together. I know you've read this a lot lately. We are in this together, but that's true. We are all in this together. In this country, in the world, we are all going through the same wave of emotions at different times, at different intensities, but nonetheless, we are all going through the same wave of emotions, and we are all in this together. So I hope that today's episode has shone some light into how you respond during chaotic and difficult times by understanding your thoughts, changing your thoughts so you can change the intensity of your emotions so that you can actually act more with more intention and purpose. Let me know how you feel about today's episode, and stay safe, stay healthy, and until next time.